Welcome back, Lightning Within 5 listeners. That's right, your girl is back and here for another episode. I'm sorry we missed you in October, but furlough. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, it's been a long month. Yeah, all my favorite civilian, you know, coworkers. So,
did you miss me?
Back.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess. Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
you did. Yeah. You didn't have anyone to entertain you while I was gone. Okay. Yep, your girl felt the furlough burn. Unlike some of my coworkers, I rather enjoyed myself. I did all the things. Like, I deep cleaned my house. I became Betty Crocker and was making random foods for my family.
Yeah, yeah. You definitely mentioned how you got, like, you increased your professionalism with baking.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm sure it was a good experience.
I cooked some gourmet quality meals.
Yep.
My husband was very impressed, and my kids were grossed out because it was new food, so it's fine. It's fine. Their opinions don't matter.
Yeah. I mean, knowing you, you definitely made, like, the best out of the situation, so.
Yes. No. I got time to read my books. I got time to just relax and, like, take a mental break. But I did miss you guys. Like,
yeah.
I actually enjoy the people I work with. So I miss you guys. I miss, like, joking around and being social. Like, I can only talk to my dog so much before I feel a little crazy. But it was good. It was good. Hopefully it doesn't happen again. We're not going to get into all the nitty gritty of furlough. Just know
it was a thing that happened, you know, just part of history.
And exactly.
We're moving on.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a bump in the road.
Yep.
But so many things to look forward to. So whether or not this is before or after Thanksgiving, I have to ask you, Naeem.
Yep.
I've asked Dostas. I've asked Alvarez.
Okay.
What is your favorite Thanksgiving food?
I don't want to be generic and say a good turkey, but I do like turkey. I would probably say, though, mac and cheese, like a really good mac and cheese.
Like a southern mac and cheese.
Yes.
Like creamy.
Yes. Like, I will not want to do anything for the rest of the day after eating that mac and cheese. I mean, it's Thanksgiving. It's like the one day where I actually, like, just pig out like that. But
yeah,
that's probably my favorite thing to eat.
Again, I will say it every single year. My favorite thing is my husband's deep fried turkey.
Okay.
None of that oven baked nonsense or brining or whatever. The way he does it is, like, Cajun deep fried. Okay. Delicious. You gotta learn how to do it yourself, man.
Yeah, no. At my age, our quote-unquote friendsgivings are more like, you know, sugar cookies, whatever sides you could bring from a fast food place, maybe, like, I don't know, Publix, bring some whatever.
Sushi. Yeah,
whatever. Sushi. Like, it's mostly just an excuse just to, like, hang out and
Eat a lot of food. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. I just imagine your friendsgivings with, like, nothing but plastic containers from the grocery store.
It's 100% paper plates. Like, there's going to be no dishes to do afterwards because it's all going to be thrown.
No one has it.
I mean, I care for the environment. So this is like a once a year thing.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
This is my one excuse.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I typically do like to not use paper plates.
Gotcha. I feel like lately people are just like overlooking Thanksgiving. Is it just me? Like, my socials are blown up with people decorating. Like, they were decorating the first week of November.
I mean, yeah, Thanksgiving, like, I feel like with Christmas, there's always, like, a sense of, and I don't even, like, I haven't celebrated Christmas growing up, but based off what I know, like, you know, there's, like, the unpredictability of, oh, what's going to happen this year? What are we going to get? But with Thanksgiving, it's like, oh, you know, we got a turkey, we got, like, the same food, I guess, like, you know, it'll be nice. It's a good experience, but, like, Christmas, like, roll the dice more.
Yeah. So. I feel like people get hype about Christmas and the winter season the way I get hyped for Halloween.
Yeah.
Chloe the other day. So Chloe goes to school and there is a big population of very religious children that go there.
Mm-hmm.
And when they asked her, well, what's your favorite holiday? And she said Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
She said they stared at her like she was the devil. It's my fault, though. It's my fault. I've put that love of Halloween and creepy things into my children, so.
I mean, it's all up to interpretation, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm not saying anything about religion, like, obviously, depending on how serious you are about your religion,
yeah,
Halloween can be, like, a no-go, or it can be, like, yeah, but...
I see no harm really, in it. It's just creepy stuff.
It just depends on how you think about it. No, I don't want to get too religious on the podcast.
But hey, we have the chaplain coming.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get back to the chaplain. So a little bit of information about what is going on here on base.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that I'm most excited about is our marina is open.
Yeah.
They are selling food. They have a bar. The view is amazing.
It's beautiful. Yep.
So Monday through Friday, they're open from 10:30 to 1:30. And then on Fridays, they actually do a social from 3 to 7. I didn't know that.
I did not know that either. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great to know. Definitely. 3 to 7 on Fridays only?
Yeah.
Okay. I've heard great things about the food there.
Yeah, their menu was pretty... I was not expecting that.
I've heard something... I think it's like the blackened fish sandwich or something. Mm-hmm. I've heard... Like, that's a must try.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
if
yeah.
you guys are interested in trying out food from the marina, that's my recommendation.
Yeah, and I also believe if you call, like, Outdoor Rec or FSS, mm-hmm. you can also reserve it to have functions there, which
yeah.
they have plenty of space. They have indoor and outdoor seating, so I think that would be awesome for anybody on base.
Yeah, I think it's weird. I feel like maybe not everybody, especially people just coming in to Tyndall, I don't really hear much about Outdoor Rec, but it's such a
yeah.
valuable asset.
Absolutely.
And, like, personal-wise, like, morale-wise, we've done... I mean, as an office, we've done so many things using the
yeah.
marina or Outdoor Rec. But I feel like, you know, if you just want to have a good time, go check out the beaches or the ocean. Yeah.
Paddleboards, boats.
Ocean. It's
canoes,
not the ocean, but yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
Other fun holiday things coming up. Our annual tree lighting's coming.
Mm-hmm.
I will be there. Come say hi to me. I always bring media out to that.
Yeah.
And they usually have a bunch of things for the kiddos to do before the tree lighting. And I know a bunch of the Tyndall kids will be singing Christmas carols. That's always adorable.
Yeah.
So it's a good time. But this year it is at the Wing Headquarters building on December 5th. And it's from 6 to 7:30. And then lastly for the events, until we get to next month's episode anyway... for the kiddos, Breakfast with Santa, and that's going to be at 204 Louisiana Avenue. That's on December 13th, and you can choose an 8:30 time slot, 9:30, or 10:30. I think that's adorable. They get to eat breakfast with Santa.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as a kid, I never really hung out with Santa, but I know Santa was always like a cool thing, especially with the atmosphere of Christmas, so I'm sure it'll be a great moment for anybody participating in the event.
I agree. We're saying all these things because we want people to enjoy their holiday season, right?
Yep.
Like, we want you to be mentally well. We want you to have a great time with your families. Mm-hmm. So I know my family is leaning more towards, like, experiences for
yep.
the kids rather than material things, because who needs it, right? Memories last longer than material things. But I did not tell you what I got Grant. Hopefully he does not listen to this before Christmas.
Okay.
But so my son is a diehard WWE fan right now. So WWE is coming to Jacksonville. We bought him like backstage passes.
Yeah.
So he gets to meet the wrestlers. He gets to walk down and get in the ring. And oh my God, I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see his face. Like, that is what I live for, is like those moments where... Mm-hmm. They're just in awe and they're like so amazed by everything.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, growing up, I remember going to like, I don't know what the name of the place. It's like a Nickelodeon theme park or something. It's in Florida. Yeah. Growing up. Yeah.
Nickelodeon?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. I went there and I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. I'm like 6 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like stuff like that, like,
yeah.
is just burnt into your memory, especially as a kid. So
yeah, definitely experiences over stuff. So today's guest is Chaplain Kemp.
Yep.
Naeem and I thought, what better way to make everybody have the feel goods for the holidays than to, you know, dive a little bit into spirituality
yep.
and religion. Like, I know that's like a touchy subject for a lot of people. Like, a lot of people don't want to talk about it, but why not? Like, everybody has, either you believe in something or you don't. I think it's, you know, like, normal. Like, just talk about it. It's okay to have differences.
And, like, the best thing about it is chaplains, able to support you regardless of your religion or your spiritual beliefs. So, you know, they'll come, they're speak from a neutral perspective. And regardless of who you are, you still have a spirituality within you.
Yes.
It's one of the main concepts of like ready airman training and stuff. Like there's multiple levels of stuff you need to be taking care of yourself at. So like mental, physical, spiritual, emotional. It's just something to always keep in mind. So I'm excited.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we've touched pretty much all the other areas, right? Like, yes, we are war fighters. Go get it, you know? Yeah. Mental health, we've talked about mental health and we've talked about support services. We wanted to touch something that is rarely talked about publicly, let's say, in the Air Force. So stick around, everybody, and we'll be right back with Chaplain Kemp.
This episode of Lightning Within 5 is brought to you by the 325th Fighter Wing Public Affairs Shop. For all the latest news, photos, videos, and more, check out our Facebook page, Instagram, and our official website, tendo.af.mil.
Welcome back, Lightning Within 5 listeners. We are here with our very special guests from the base chapel. We have Chaplain Barry Kemp, and we also have Master Sergeant Nathan Fail.
Correct.
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
We're so glad that you guys are here. We were discussing earlier how we wanted to bring you on here, not only for the holiday season, but we rarely hear people on podcasts talking about religion, especially like in the military setting. So we wanted to bring you on here so you can explain chaplain life and all the exciting things coming up for y'all. So let's just dive right in. Sir, why don't you start and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, yeah. So Barry Kemp, the wing chaplain here at 325th Tyndall, arrived back in July, so early July. This was my number one choice, so God kind of smiled down on me as I made it back to Florida.
Yeah.
So I did a little stint over in Colorado Springs supporting the Space Force for about 4 years. And before that, I was actually over to Herbert Field. So Herbert Field during Hurricane Michael. So I've got a little, I wouldn't say firsthand experience, but at least firsthand from a distance experience when Hurricane Michael hit. So I was very aware of what happened to Tyndall. Oh, actually, back in those days, I was supporting an AFSOC unit that really they jumped in here and set up some capabilities to kind of reestablish early base, you know, kind of rebuild. So before that, I was again in space launch. So you're going to see a theme here. I've had quite a bit of Space Command and Space Force time as an Air Force chaplain supporting, and did space launch for 3 years out at Cape Canaveral and Patrick Air Force Base. Some people might say, or Space Force Base now. So we might say I'm the most hated chaplain in the Air Force because you're going to get this theme of a lot of Florida assignments.
Yeah, I was going to say, you love Florida, don't you?
I like Florida. I like the heat. One thing I didn't like about Colorado, before we go out to Colorado, it's altitude and it's dry. Yeah. So again, my skin didn't like it, my lungs didn't like it, and my PT physical training didn't like it. So anyway, before that, I was in the reserve. So I was at Whiteman Air Force Base. And before that, I was at Nellis Air Force Base and did some time out at Creech as well. I didn't even join the Air Force till I was like 35.
Wow.
So most chaplains come into the military fairly late just due to some of the requirements. So again, in this season of Thanksgiving and as Christmas approaches, a lot to be thankful for as I look beyond the military and just even to our community outside of Tyndall Air Force Base.
Yeah. All right. What about you, Sergeant Fail?
It's my turn. So I've been in 16 years. Just got here literally a month ago. I was at J-Bear, Alaska before. I was embedded in CE. Love being in CE. Before that, I was embedded in Intel. And then before that, I was down at Lackland, my first station as a religious affairs. Before that, I was a airman dorm leader with CE. Did that for 3 years. I was there with Chief Wright before he became Chief Master in the Air Force. So I got to know enlisted Jesus before he was enlisted Jesus. He's a cool dude. And then I was a vehicle maintenance. I was vehicle maintenance for 7 years. So I was at Ramstein. Then I went to Korea. I went to Nellis, deployed, went back to Ramstein, and that's when I cross trained. So I've been 16 years. Before the military, I got an associate's degree from ITC Tech, which is no longer college anymore. But I moved around a lot as a kid. I have a pretty big story. People tell me I should tell a book of the things I've seen, things I've done. It's not, but here I am blessed to be where I am now. So
interesting. You know, yeah. So what ultimately made you cross train?
My first deployment, I met a chaplain and they did a play and I got to do the play. and I just was sitting there talking with them. I didn't like working with my hands, like getting my hands always messed up and jammed up and stuff. And I like taking care of airmen. I supervised over 250 airmen since I've been in. So taking care of airmen was my main thing. So I love being an airman dorm leader, but you can't be an airman dorm leader the whole time. It's only special duty.
Yeah.
So the other thing that's just as good, same side coin, is be a religious affairs.
Yeah. All right. So speaking about that, like, what does religious affairs do on a daily basis?
Oh, that's a good question. There's a lot of admin, but that's the boring part of it. Admin side of it is making sure that we have money to do events and do things like that. Make sure that certain people get paid during Sundays for like the choir or whatever like that. But the best thing we get to do, and we do daily and especially on deployments, is unit engagement.
Yeah.
And it's just going around talking with people. Our sole job is to go around and talk to people, make sure that they're good to go. Spiritually, mentally, physically, socially. I always like to say is get people back to Zen. So if you're having a rough day, a rough time, and you need someone to talk to, you have a religious affairs or you have a chaplain to help you get back to Zen.
Specifically at Tyndall, what do you guys provide for the airmen here? Like, what are some resources that, or what are some reasons why people should reach out to you guys?
Yeah, so we, you know, both of us being new, and obviously the Tyndall, I know the probably not a word we like to use, but we're still in the rebuilding phase. So again, a lot of our religious programs, even though they've continued in a very limited capacity. So again, there's a lot of, and by the way too, we've got some great religious programming out in our local community too. So when we talk about religious programming, sometimes it's getting people plugged into different locations that they're looking for. Because right now the base, you know, the chapel, we talk about it, it's a $31 million facility. But it's not complete. It's probably at least months behind. So a lot of our programming, we typically do weeknight events, things like that. We really haven't had a chance to do to the way we want to do it, just because there's not a lot of facilities on base. So again, yes, I think once we see the chapel and talk about the chapel annex and places we can bring community together, and it's not just us that struggle with that. I think everybody has, just those facilities. So again, I think we'll see some things, but my time here, we do offer some religious programming. We do try to get out in the units, make ourselves available. I actually come across a lot of people who want to talk about things of their faith. They see me. I'm known as an evangelical Christian. They know I'm a pastor. And a lot of people are not plugged into a local church or local faith group. I just had this last week, and this young airman was trying to figure out, hey, where can I go? Like, this was a part of my life. I'm a parent now. I want to get plugged back in. You know, one of my things was to refer this young lady to a local church. So again, a lot of times right now, especially if families have children, we're definitely not postured for that right now. And one of the things that, you know, Master Hartfield did mention is even with our religious programs, we have a lot of oversight for protection for kids and families. So even one of our big programs is really doing background checks. Like, people don't realize just some of the admin stuff that Master Hartfield mentioned. We're having to go through, we want to go through a lot of different checks and balances. If we bring a volunteer or somebody onto our staff to help, especially with your children, you better know they're at least going to be vetted through the multi-layer system of background checks. And then as far as that, so again, that unit engagement, typically, you know, unfortunately, we're kind of light staffed here as of now. I think that'll change. But the goal is to be out. And again, it's so much easier for us to maybe see people in a workspace, and if there's some kind of thing they're going through, issue, a challenge, we kind of call it counseling. Some people might call it mentoring, coaching. I mean, there's all kinds of names for it, but a lot of times we'll just interact with people, and you'll never know. Like, we, to be honest with you, there are times I want to pry into people's lives. I want to ask some tough questions, and people aren't just going to open up just automatically. So if we can try to see where they're at, maybe ask some probing questions. Full disclosure, that's what I do because I care about people. You know, I'm kind of like a parent sometimes. So again, I want to know what's going on in their life, what some of the struggles are. And then a lot of times we work with, we work with a lot of base providers and trying to find out if there's a network that can answer this need. And most everybody's heard this brief is, you know, we try to also just, especially as a chaplain, I pastoral counsel. So again, when people see me, you know, yes, I'm a chaplain, but I'm also a pastor. And again, I want to help people navigate that faith. And then even people of a different faith group, I definitely want to help them find that accommodation. what a great nation we live in, right? Thanksgiving's kind of about this, if you mm-hmm. think about it. It's kind of about, you know, great religious freedoms going on. And again, if I can help somebody find that thing that's going to make them stronger, more resilient, especially mm-hmm. if it's something they've left for a little bit and they're looking to get back to, mm-hmm. What a great thing to be a part of as a chaplain corps.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I think that's one thing that I definitely wanted to emphasize, like, that regardless of your faith, you guys are still a safe space for people Absolutely. To, you know, vent to almost. Like you will be, your main job is to take care of the airmen. So you guys are definitely a safe space for people regardless of their faith or spirituality.
And I want to add with what the chaplain said, you know, with you talking about where we're a safe place and somewhere to go with 100% confidentiality and all that. Mm-hmm. One thing that a lot of people don't know is that the religious affairs have that too. Mm-hmm. When the first 7 years I was in, never knew that. If I would have known as a young airman, I could have went and complained and yelled to an NCO or something instead of throwing wrenches.
Yeah,
definitely would have done that. So what I, you know, what he's talking about is that we provide and provide for. A lot of times we provide for all the other different religions. There's 266 different approved of religions.
Wow.
There's probably actually more than that.
Yeah. Holy cow.
So we have to be able to provide for all of them. You know, we only have Protestant and Catholic on base, but everything else, you know, we have to provide for. So when we go out and do union engagement, you know, we just went out into Munns yesterday. Shout out to Munns. Yesterday, we went and did union engagement with them and just got to talk to them. And then they opened up a little bit to us. Just the best part of this job is going around and talking with people and getting to know their story.
Yeah.
And that way they know if they need someone to talk to, if they're having that crisis, or if they just need some pastoral care or whatever it is, just a safe place, like you're saying, we're there. And it's just really cool. It's a lot to put on our shoulders, but we get the training. They've trained us. I'm a certified crisis counselor as well. The Air Force, they're starting to empower the enlisted more and more as religious affairs to get out there and do things. So
I love that, because the airmen can, you know, no offense, sir, but like sometimes it's
stripes talk to stripes.
Right. And they don't feel comfortable going to an officer. It's different because you're a pastor, but, you know, sometimes they just want like a peer to peer kind of thing. So I love that. I'm so glad that you guys are like expanding more. I think that's super important for the airmen to feel comfort.
And I'll say that too. You know, I remember the surgeon, what was it? The Surgeon General of the Army not too long ago, he made a comment that, listen, most people just need to talk about life.
Yes.
And we're not talking about massive mental health problems across all of our formations. So literally, if we can bring in somebody who's been through basic and AIT and they can speak that mentorship. A lot of times, you know, airmen come in, even in the Joint Force, I'll go back and say, even in the Joint Force, you know, they're going to come in and talk to an enlisted member. You know, I don't even want to talk about back when I went through basic officer training. It was called COT back then. It was not what they went through.
Yeah.
So again, it's almost not embarrassing, but it's again, it's one of those things where, yeah, not everything's pastoral counseling. Some things is a crisis in their life. Some things is crisis at work.
Right.
And there's probably no better person to talk to than religious affairs.
Yeah.
Religious affairs don't pastoral counsel. Yeah. They don't take people through theology and things like that. But again, a lot of times when people are just looking to like just bounce something off somebody, or I'm going through this, or is there precedence for this, or is this fair? Mm-hmm. Like, is this fair the way I'm being treated?
Right.
We've got you know, we've got a superintendent E7 right here. We've got a couple of E6s. We got one. So we got an E6. We got two E5s. I mean, we've got some NCOs. They've got a few miles on those boots. So again, great people to come talk to in the office.
And they're all wonderful.
Yeah, all of them wonderful.
It was great when I was down in Lackland, because I had all the tech training.
And
My life experiences before I joined the military was pretty rough. I've lived life. And so them to see that somebody with a higher ranking and what I had now came the same way that they came.
Yeah.
You know, they see that they can do it too. They can see that, you know, you don't need to win all these awards. You don't need to have all this stuff. You can come from being homeless. You can come from being in children's services. You can come from not, you know, having a broken home and still do success by, you know, talking to people. That mentorship is just saying, you know, they can see someone a little bit older that went through the same thing they did, and they can, you know, vent to and talk to.
Master Sergeant Phil, what is specifically like spiritual care? What does that mean to you?
Spiritual care is a big umbrella. So it, you know, everyone, when they think of spiritual care, they think of it's religion, and religion is in that umbrella. So when we go out as religious affairs, we try to tell people spiritual care is whatever gets you back to that Zen I was talking about. You know, if that's faith, or if that's meditation or yoga or whatever it is, there's different, you know, variations. But spiritual religion is in that, and it's a big chunk of it. But it doesn't have to be. You know, when I was down The different bases, when I go out and do unit engagement, I try to tell people, you know, you don't have to be religious. Come talk to us. You don't have to be a certain religion. You can be an atheist. You can be all these different things. The only point is that we care about you. We want to help you and make sure that you can make it through the day. So if something spiritual, you need to talk to us about it or whatever, or we can provide for. If you want to talk about religion or anything like that, that's when we, you know, warm handoff to the chaplain, mm-hmm. and then the chaplain can dive into that. They have master's degrees. Some of them have PhDs. Like, that's their, yeah. that's their realm. I don't, you know, I not all religious affairs do this, but you know, I try to teach my people, like, keep that line separate. Right. I know it says religious affairs and all that, but we like to keep that line separate. When anything comes religion, that's chaplain. So the spiritual umbrella is pretty big, but mm-hmm. I'll let the chaplain talk more on that too.
Yeah, well, so I've actually got a definition pulled up here for you. So really out of the reg, we talk about spiritual fitness. It's spiritual fitness is the ability to adhere to beliefs. Mm-hmm. So that's part of it. Virtues and values needed to develop a fulfilling life with quality of service. Then our next definition, spirituality, is the means to find that ultimate meaning and purpose in life. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times you'll hear people say, well, I mean, doesn't that definition include everything? Well, it mm-hmm. almost does. I think it's a good thing. So, you know, even if you look at a lot of different peer-reviewed stuff on spirituality, especially from the medical field, all mm-hmm. kinds of studies on how has spirituality improved somebody's, you know, recovery. And I used to be a hospital chaplain, so this used to be something I would do prior to my military service, to just kind of look at some of the stuff out there, because the one thing you want, you know, patients recovering from some kind of a surgical procedure or illness or something is you want recovery. And it was overwhelming to see, especially religious people, how much their faith played a role. And of course, that could be because, you know, you've got people coming in. Like a lot of times, if you're part of a faith community, you're going to have a local church come in. You're going to have people show up. You're going to have a pastor, a priest, rabbi. You're just going to have people show up at the hospital. So there's all kinds of, like, potential variables to those things. But you'll find a lot of people complain about our definition because they'll say some of those things exist without spirituality. Like, mm-hmm. does purpose exist without spirituality? Well, of course it does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, does meaning, yeah, all those definitions, really, they kind of self-define. They mm-hmm. don't necessarily need the word spirit to it. But I think in the chaplain course world, we're trying to reach out to everybody and help them find that purpose. And a lot of times, it is all kinds of different things that somebody might fulfill that. So again, you know, I've read the Reddit comments on, you know, I think both both the Air Force and the Army really kind of redefine spirituality, at least with some guidance in 2025. Mm. And if you actually look at some of the commenters, and I get it, you know, that's not always the best place to go, but I like it because I want to know who I'm talking to.
Yes, sir.
I want to know what the military's what they're seeing us as.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I actually think people can help each other find purpose in life.
Oh yeah.
And I think we're lacking some of that. I think it's evidence in the counselings that I have that people are on a quest for this. So again, I say that. Because, like, you look at some of the comments, you're like, oh, yeah, that's other things. That's mental health or that's FSS. All these things you do are kind of components of all these things. Well, yeah, they are. But we also try to get a little bit deeper than just, you know, going to the concert that FSS puts on.
Yeah.
Or just going to mental health and looking at, you know, paradigms of treatments, which are very good sometimes. But there are a lot of people. Take for me example. The word spirit has a huge meaning in the Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a vague word. It's kind of tied to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Same with Catholics, same with a lot of other people. But other faith groups, I would probably say in the Muslim faith, the spirit is not a big word. It probably doesn't show up much. So again, as I work with people, I'm going to parse out this definition to try to help them navigate life. So for me, if I'm dealing with, as a Christian pastor, even assisting even Catholics, our language is so similar.
Mm-hmm.
When we start talking about, hey, what is the spirit convicting me of? What is this? Again, that's that religious side. But when we talk about just that general person, maybe that agnostic or that atheist, that person that's not looking for that organized religious faith, mm-hmm. Then we start looking to some of those other parts of that definition. How do we help you find meaning? It's just interesting to see some people, they're on this quest. You know, even some people join the military, and they're not necessarily finding that great satisfaction they thought they were going to have in the military.
Mm.
I mean, this is almost a topic every day in the counseling space. They joined, it's not quite what they want it to be, or maybe somebody joined just because they want, it was almost a contractual agreement. So again, sometimes, you know, we're helping them find meaning that's places they haven't looked. Maybe they've looked to the service and it's not quite what they are looking for. And sometimes we're like, well, let's expand that a little bit. Let's get out into the community. Let's do some volunteer. I preached this Sunday on Thanksgiving. Have we looked at one person that we can identify going through a hardship, and can we reach out to them? And just if it's once, mm-hmm. if it's just once, can we kind of get out of our comfort zone and help that one person going through something? I almost can guarantee you, if somebody did one thing over the course of the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, they would find a pretty good sense of purpose,
yeah.
a sense of fulfillment, because we've reached out to fellow humanity and taking care of a need. And that's something big. That's something that people literally need. So again, spirituality, it has a lot of things in it. But I think it's a good definition to kind of reach out to everybody.
I have in my office a sign that says, "What's your why?" Mm-hmm. So when I was an airman dorm leader, it was one thing, and that's one thing too. You know, it's what's your why? What drives you? What gets you up in the morning? What's the reason why you keep doing what you're doing? What's the reason why you're being a good NCO or a good airman? You know, what's your why? That's would yeah. tie in there as well.
Yeah. We even go maybe a little bit deeper. And how do you develop that why?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where does that why come from?
Gotcha.
How do we define that why? So yeah, getting that a little deeper about what people. Sometimes people don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know. We try to give them options to pursue.
My why is I just want to live life the most positive way I can and make a lasting impact, not just on my airmen, but I realized that I'm on the right path during furlough. When I was getting text messages from all the airmen in my office saying, "Jen, we miss you so much. We can't do this without you. Please come back." And then I came back, and I think at least two of my airmen were crying. They were so happy I came back. That to me means I'm doing what I want to do. Like,
absolutely.
That's my why. I'm, you know, helping them be better airmen and overall, I hope, better people. And I'm leading them with like what I believe is the right path. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, that made me, as bad as furlough was, it was actually a positive thing for me. So,
well, and I'll even add to that. You know, sometimes that why changes.
Yeah.
Why changes as families
absolutely.
Grow, as maybe you take on a dependent, or maybe just a season in life. Like,
yeah.
you know, even me this week, I've been so focused on, you know, just probing airmen. I you know, if we think about what, 2004, what's happened in 2004 November? It was Fallujah, right? Fallujah really impacted why I even joined the military, because I had a buddy come back from Fallujah and he was pretty messed
mm-hmm.
up. And again, so even during Thanksgiving, my mind goes back to Fallujah. Mm-hmm. When did Fallujah start? November 7th of 2004 and December 23rd. I mean, think about somebody's life in a wonderful holiday period
right.
that was radically different 24 years ago.
Yeah.
So again, like, and as we talk about readiness in the Air Force, we talk about readiness in ACC,
mm-hmm.
like how many people could find themselves, and God forbid this happens, hopefully we live in a peaceful world, but you know, how many people could find themselves in something radically different? You know, they signed up, "I think I want to go war fight," and now I'm about to enter the city of Fallujah.
Mm-hmm.
Huge difference, you know, losing people when you're supposed to be rejoicing and being thankful. How do you find thanks when you're clearing buildings in Fallujah?
Mm-hmm.
Again, so just looking at what other people go through and what they've gone through and what they might go through, it just drives that compassion, that biblical compassion. How do I suffer alongside or suffer with someone that's going through a hardship and bring that thankfulness? Again, as a pastor, as a preacher, you know, I'm a decent storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times just bringing that story, I'm not going to say it always normalizes things, but maybe it helps us reframe and say, mm-hmm. okay, I'm not in Fallujah. Mm-hmm. I may not be where I want to be in Thanksgiving of 2025. Maybe I'm stuck in the dorm. Maybe I'm away from my parents. But, you know, there was some 19-year-olds, 18-year-olds, 2004, 24 years ago, that were in Fallujah.
Again. Absolutely.
So again, what can we be thankful for? That we're, you know, that we're blessed and we've got some peace in our lives, at least in 2025.
I'm like, try not to get too like invested in your storytelling, but you're like,
you're speaking to his soul.
Exactly.
You're speaking to his soul.
So I'm like, I can't even think of my next question because I'm paying so much attention to what you're saying. Anyways, what aspects of your guys' jobs are most challenging, and are there any specific moments you guys have had working your career field that have really impacted you as a person?
We can do. Wow, Master Phil, you'll take that one first.
I would say when someone comes in and they need help and we help them, we mentor them, we give them guidance or whatever, and we give them some advice, or, you know, we're just a sounding board, and then they never come back. So we never know if it was successful or not. Since being in this career field, I've gone back and started watching all of these old shows that have closure, to get closure sometimes. And I have had to add the second question. So the first part is not many people come back and tell us, but then I've had a couple that have came back and told me, hey, your advice was great, or hey, thank you so much. Or, you know, when we go out and if somebody comes and sees us, you know, if I see you out and about after you just got done talking to me and we just had this long talk or whatever, I'm going to say, hey, next time I see you, I'm going to ask you, how are you doing? I'm going to say that to everybody, but I'm going to say it to you in a particular, like, how are you doing? Because I know, but I'm not going to like, hey, since we last talked, so that way no one knows that we talked, but I'm actually honestly wanting to know, how are you doing? And so people will sometimes tell me, you know, yeah, you know, I'll come by and see you again. But I've had a few actually come to my office in my last base and a couple other bases, and they're like, hey, what you said is really helpful. Thank you so much. And that to me knows that I'm doing the right thing, because you don't know, you know, with our job, once they walk outside that door, that 100% is gone. And we don't know what they're going to do. We don't know what they're going to say. We don't know what's going on, because they don't usually come back. And so some of the conversations I've had with people mentoring, or, you know, just in the crisis I've had, I've always wondered, well, how are they doing, you know? But I might see them later on in the base or something, and I'll ask them, and they'll give me that look like, yeah, I'm all right. I'm like, cool, cool. So it works. But those ones that actually come back and tell me that they're doing okay, that's what my why is in this job, is that's a fulfillment for me.
Okay. So, you know, I would probably say diversity, and it probably needs a little bit of explanation. Diversity has been a challenge. And I say that because, you know, mostly from like generational cohorts in service branches. And then just, you know, as I get older, I really realize how important it is to relate to people to be effective. So again, my oldest daughter is in the Army. She's 26. She's in the Army. She's probably getting out soon. But I think even as I get older, I used that word compassion earlier, I get more invested in younger people's lives as a parent. Like, I'm always thinking through how I communicate. My world was so much different growing up as a Gen Xer. So I won't go into a lot of detail about that, but just that diversity of trying to relate and communicate.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think, you know, a lot of studies will tell you get about 8 seconds to gain the attention.
Yes.
Let's just say a Gen Zer.
Yep.
What is it? Gen A following Gen Z? I've already lost track. Yeah, Gen A. So it's so probably even less with Gen A. Like, I've almost got to like type it to them right on a text or maybe some kind of video short or something. But the bottom line is, you know, you want to communicate something to them to where they understand, because you think maybe that life experience is relevant, even though they're probably smarter than me.
Yeah.
They've got access to more information than I ever had.
Oh, yeah.
And how can I bring along that wisdom? And this is going to, hopefully it doesn't sound arrogant, but that wisdom I've gleaned over my 50 years of life, how can I bring that to the situations?
Yes, sir.
Day to day? Yeah, I think that's probably it, is just that communication piece and the challenges in a very diverse force, whether it's age, work, job, generational cohort, all those different diversity pieces that make people's lives very unique.
And what about your, like, most impactful moment working your career field? Like, what was, like, something... I don't know, working as a chaplain, was there like a specific situation? Obviously, we don't have to like say any names or anything, but like specific situation that really made you feel like this work I do is very important.
And I'll tell you what, Naeem, it's almost every day.
Yes, sir.
I would say if I look back to a specific time, it was probably my first trip to Afghanistan.
Yes, sir.
Tough thing when you're waiting for 6 bodies to come back.
Yeah.
You're doing a ramp ceremony. And you're doing it for ODA guys. You're doing it for task force rangers. Now, you're not always doing it because they typically had a chaplain too, but you're supporting that effort. You might get called up if they're doing some battlefield circulation. Because I don't know if y'all been to Afghanistan or not, but when a KIA comes in, they're going out. They were going out pretty quick.
Yeah.
So again, these are all concerns we have in the modern era, right? As we think about what that mobility looks like, potential casualties. But how can you honor that life? I wish I could remember what the Army's chaplain corps, it's nurture the living, the wounded, and honor the fallen. You know, they've got a really good motto in that. I should have looked it up or had it for you. Somebody can look that up for us. But just honoring some of those fallen that came back, being with people who do combat, like, it's just different. So I was in Afghanistan supporting like the Night Stalkers and Task Force and a lot of your special operations air components, let's put it that way. So again, and just seeing the work that they do, and to see how even like the greatest war fighters you've ever seen, especially these aviators, mm-hmm. Just how they still lean upon like hoping and trusting God and coming to you for some answers from a theological perspective. Mm-hmm. I think that place was so unique, you know, that it just made it like, well, I guess when you join the military in some ways, you're kind of thinking warfighter, like you're off fighting something. I think that's probably some of the great legacy of our military service branches. And I think that was probably it, just because of the location, mm-hmm. and just seeing the work. I don't think people, and a lot of it I can't talk about, but just seeing the volume of what mm-hmm. people did, especially in the aviation side. Mm-hmm. I was so amazed by what our aviators do. Like, it's, and I haven't seen one book by an aviator in AFSOC. So nobody really knows what they've done. But right. when you're there with them, it's amazing to see the volume of what they accomplished.
I was going to say, so I grew up in the church. I did, you know, the 4 years of catechism classes, which I resented my parents for making me do that. As a teenager, like, you don't want to spend your Sunday sitting there reading Bible verses. At least I didn't. But I was going to say, like, I always thought during those catechism classes, I was like, this is, my pastor works one day a week. This is crazy. But I did not realize how much y'all put into people until my little brother was on hospice. And there was a chaplain there almost every other day because he requested it. They did not care. If he needed them for his sound mind, they showed up. Yeah. And I think that was probably the moment where I was like, they do so much. And I can't imagine the mental burden it takes on you as well. I'm sure you seek like mental health counseling or other pastors, you know, to help you get through the tough things. But that for me was a big moment. I was like, I did not appreciate my pastor as much as I should have during catechism.
Yeah. I mean, thank you for saying that, because it is like a misunderstood occupation often.
Yes.
And I've even had a chance to meet with some local pastors in the area, and they're doing amazing work. Their dedication to these faith groups is amazing.
Yeah.
I can resonate with that. Even as a chaplain, like, I struggle being proactive and reactive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to be proactive, but the moment that I fill my calendar up, I fear I'm not going to be as reactive. And one of the things mm-hmm. in the chaplain corps, and people, I think everybody will attest to this, at least here, is that when somebody walks in the door, you're going to get intercepted. We drop what we're doing.
Yeah.
We don't have an intake system like mental health has, and I know that they've got a great intake system, and it has a purpose. We don't have it. We don't take any names down. Like Master Sergeant Fail said, sometimes we don't even schedule follow-ups. I do sometimes. I want to schedule a follow-up if I can to see how that person's doing. But that's another thing that goes on the calendar. So again, a lot of things. And I even go back to my time as a hospital chaplain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I served the NICU. I had the medical step down.
Yeah.
I had the oncology. We had like two EDUs. I had the surgical. What did I have? It was the surgical recovery unit, basically. This was in Springfield, Missouri at Cox Hospitals. And like, I would show up with just a list of people to go see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not even walking down the hall and getting pulled into a room.
Yeah.
That's not my Sunday service things that I was doing as well at a local church.
Yeah.
So again, there's so much to do. And then if we're noticing right now, if we're looking at Pew Research, if we're looking at Gallup, some of these other survey sources, we're seeing people are coming back to the faith, especially the Catholic, I believe the Anglican.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing some large people come back. They're going back to those roots. They're going back, and maybe they're understanding more now. Like,
yeah.
Hey, this was, maybe I was not quite fair of mm-hmm. my assessment as a kid, and now I kind of see why my parents do it, and I see the benefit in it.
Yeah.
And I see what it did for me. And again, so there's so much when we talk about, like, yeah, what are pastors and priests and our, I haven't met any rabbis in the area, but I've met plenty to know, like, it's a job.
Yes.
It's a job.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I think this has been an amazing episode.
Yes, ma'am.
Look, Naeem, you spoke to Naeem's soul. Like, he's still in shock.
Yeah. So, you know, regardless if it's Thanksgiving or not, there's always a season of things.
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage people. You know, when I came back from deployment last year, I showed up, and it was down in Honduras. Gratitude, thankfulness, and compassion. Those are the three things we worked on. So, again, it doesn't have to be a one day of the year, so to speak, to take 4 days off and really appreciate giving thanks. You know, I think Thanksgiving, when we look back, oh, my goodness, when you look back at just over 400 years ago of what we had people set off for religious freedoms, and we look at what this nation has become, wow, what an amazing thing. I don't think people study the history of some of those early people that left England on a ship that I don't think was actually meant for the Atlantic crossing.
Oh,
I think it
no.
was a, it was a shallow bottom ship that was made to go up and do shallow deliveries and stuff. So again, to think that people jumped on a ship that really wasn't made for, not knowing in September, one thing I did ask my Navy folks was, would you have crossed the Atlantic in September?
Hurricane season?
Yeah, exactly. Like, no way.
Hard and pass.
Of course, we know the story, right? The old, those that early Mayflower got pushed off over 500 yards.
Yeah.
500 miles. What was supposed to be Virginia turned out to be Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. So again, just to see that quest in an era that we may not fully understand the challenges and what people were desperate for. They were desperate for something other than what they had. Matter of fact, they were being persecuted.
Yeah.
So to think about what we have today, the freedoms that we've got, a chapel on a base for all faith groups.
Yeah.
Just that alone is something to be thankful for. But I think even further than that, you know, just looking at the people next to us, I just want to encourage people, doesn't have to be Thanksgiving, to see somebody with the need and just reach out and try to meet that need. Even if it's, you know, it stretches your budget a little bit or stretches your time, I think you'll find a great sense of satisfaction and fulfillment in just reaching out to that need, especially if it's one that somebody's having a hard time meeting. And again, in all honesty, we probably should be doing that anyway as airmen, as humans. But again, just to make an intentional effort to identify it and then to meet it. And I'd encourage people to do that. Try that. That's my Thanksgiving/holiday message.
All right, sir. Well, thank you both so much for joining us. This has been a sincere pleasure.
Thank you, ma'am.
And we hope to have you back sometime soon.
All right, let's do it.
Awesome.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.